We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof. Today's shir is dedicated L'Ili Nishmas Chana Golda Bas Yosef Leib, who always saw the good in everyone by her son. We learned before, after Avshalom had been killed, and David was returning to Yerushalayim, there was a debate between the Shevet Yehuda, David's tribe of Yehuda, and the rest of Klal Yisrael, into whom had a greater share in David. The people of Yisrael said, how come those of Yehuda are accompanying David? And David has his own men from Yehuda, and he's not acting like he's king over the whole nation. And the people from Yehuda said, that's understandable, he's from our Shevet. And the Ish Yisrael said, what do you mean, we have 10 shares in David HaMelech, every tribe is just as important as Yehuda. And there was a very strong argument, and the Ish Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, spoke harshly against those of the other Shvatim, the other tribes. Perek Chof. V'sham Nikra Ish B'liyal. Over there at this point, at this place, a wicked, a base person happened to be there. Ushmo Sheva ben Bichri Ish Yemini. And his name was Sheva ben Bichri. He came from Shevet Binyamin. Vayiska b'shofar, and he blew the shofar to get everyone's attention as a proclamation. Vayomer, and he said, Ein lanu chelik b'David. We have no share in David. You're arguing who feels, who has a greater connection to David HaMelech. Is David closer with his own tribe? Is he considered equally with all of Klal Yisrael? Forget it. We have no share with David. Ein lanu chelik b'David. There's no inheritance. This is not something passed on from generation to generation. We have no connection with the son of Yishai, who is David. Ish la'ol of Yisrael. Every man should go back to his own tents. Yisrael. All the people of Israel, go back home to your tents. Forget about David. On one hand, Sheva ben Bichri figured he might be successful. At this point, everyone knew there had been a nevuah that because of David and Bathsheba, hineni mekim alecha ro mi beisecha, there's going to be evil brought up from within David's household. There's going to be an opposition to David. Till now, that was Avshalom. And Avshalom was killed. So Sheva ben Bichri figured this is his chance and he would be successful. But he figured David, there was always going to be an opposition to David. So he grabbed the opportunity. Mephoshim pointed out his name was Sheva. He considered that to be a sign from heaven. His name was Sheva, which alludes to the Avera with Bathsheba. I guess Sheva could be a man's name also. But his name was Sheva ben Bichri. Figured with a name like that, his name is a remembrance of David's mistake. And now would be the time that he could take over as king. He could rebel. So he announced, nobody has a portion with David, everybody should go home to their tent. As the Malbim explains, there's two reasons why somebody would be a king over Klal Yisrael. Either he's selected, the people want him, or if his father was the king, it's passed on from generation to generation. What Sheva ben Bichri said is, Ein lanu chelik b'David. We have no share in David. We don't want him. You're arguing, who wants him? We want David. Why didn't you invite us when you were traveling with David back to Yerushalayim and we were sort of given second-class status? What do you mean? We don't want David. And the other reason to have a king is because he got it as Yerusha. David didn't inherit the throne. His father was Yishai. He wasn't a king. Ein lanu v'lo nachla lanu b'ven Yishai. We have no nachla with the son of Yishai. It's not like David is born into the monarchy. So if he's not born as the king, and Klal Yisrael doesn't want him as the king, he's not the king. Ish la'ol of Yisrael, everyone should go home to their tents and leave David. This is again a tremendous test for David. He hasn't even gotten over the loss of Avshalom was killed. And finally, he's ready to come back to Yerushalayim and try to get things back to normal. He hasn't even come to Yerushalayim yet. And already there's already a rebellion. Vayal kol ish Yisrael miachrei David. All the people from Yisrael went up from after David. They left him. They went somewhere else. Achrei Sheva ben Bichri, after the Sheva ben Bichri. And it says everyone did it. Shimi ben Gera was the man who had cursed David when he was climbing up Harazesim. He was walking up the mountain, and Shimi ben Gera cursed him, and he threw dirt at him. And then he came apologetically, and he confessed that he did terrible, what he did was terrible, and he regrets it, and he begged David's forgiveness, and he came with 1,000 people from Binyamin, and David said, okay, well, he'll let Shimi be. Now, Vayal Kol Ish Yisrael, everyone went up and left David, implying even the Shimi ben Gera, who a minute before had came and had apologized and begged for forgiveness, he also joined the opposition. And for all we know, Shimi ben Gera was from Binyamin, could be Sheva ben Bichri was part of his men. He was an Ish Yamini, he was a man from Binyamin. He might have been one of those 1,000 men of Binyamin. A minute before, they're all begging David's forgiveness. And now, all of a sudden, they're rebelling. They all left David. They went after Sheva ben Bichri. The Ish Yehuda Dov Kuvim Malkom. The people of Yehuda, they stuck with their king. Min HaYarding Vad Yerushalayim. And they went from the Yarding all the way back to Yerushalayim. It's not clear if they were planning initially to do it. But certainly, I guess, after seeing that the whole country was deserting, all the Ish Yisrael left. Those who were loyal to David saw that, of course, they have to accompany him to Yerushalayim and show that he still has his power base and he still has supporters. Also, it seems, you know, it's the best thing for a presidential candidate is if there's a crisis before the election. Because people's nature is, when things are rough, you don't start, you know, everyone unites behind the leader, there's a common enemy, and it's not the time for internal squabbles. But you see, with all that went on with David HaMelech and with Avshalom, but there was obviously, there were no problems with enemies externally, and Avshalom was killed, but people didn't feel the need of backing David. So we'll choose another king. It wasn't like there were problems with the Goyim, and things were peaceful on the home front, and they were able to be divisive and choose another leader. Vayavo David al Beisu Yerushalayim. David came to his house in Yerushalayim. Vayikach HaMelech Es Eser Noshim Pilakshim. The king took his 10 wives, those concubines, Asher Hiniach Lishmar Habayis, that he had left behind to guard the house. When he fled from Avshalom, he left these Pilakshim behind. Vayidnim Beis Mishmeres. Now he took these Pilakshim and he put them in a safe house. They were guarded. By a chalkalim, and he sustained them, he supported them. Valeim lo bo, but he didn't live with them, he didn't come to them, he was no longer as their husband. He supported them, they lived okay, and they were protected, but he had no connection. But tiyeno tsururos, and they were bound up in this situation, ad yom mus, until they died, almenus chayus, they were like living widows. They had a husband, David, but David didn't live with them and didn't have a connection with them anymore. He couldn't give them a get and divorce them and let them move on with their life, because once they had been the king's pilagshim, they had been concubines with the king, it was forbidden for anybody else to marry them. So they were also to everyone else. For David to take them back is the Machloikis and the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Yerushalmi has an opinion that really David was permitted to take them back as wives. The fact that they had lived with Avshalom was against their will, they had been forced, and they don't become forbidden to their husband. But David, after this was all part of David's Yisurim and his suffering and his process of tshuva, and David wanted to show that he was going to the other extreme and abstaining even from what was permitted to him. It brings down that he used to tell these women to adorn themselves, to look attractive, and even so he didn't He didn't live with them. In other words, he almost was like tempting his Yetzirah, but he knew that he was abstaining as part of his tshuva. The other opinion is that just like somebody's not allowed, the king is not allowed to take as a wife somebody who lived with a hegyot, with a commoner, whether she was divorced or she's a widow, a king is not allowed to take her as a wife. In this case, it's even worse. It was his wives who ended up being taken by Avshalom. So in this case, it was certainly forbidden to David, according to that opinion. What David was doing is showing that these wives who Avshalom took were like wives who lived with a commoner. That Avshalom might have been his son, and he might have had all the reasons why what Avshalom did wasn't so bad. But Avshalom was acknowledging that with all the excuses, Avshalom was a regular hegyot. He was a common person, and if he lived with these pilagshim, they were usher to David. And it's a subtle warning to Sheva ben Bichri that anybody who rebels against David, even if it's his own son, is a commoner. And certainly Sheva ben Bichri is a hegyot, is a common person rebelling against the throne, and he will be chayiv misol, he'll have to be killed. So immediately as soon as he came back to Yerushalayim, there's a rebellion going on. But the first thing he did was, he took those pilagshim, and he sequestered them, he put them in this house, and they remained in that state the rest of their life. Vayomer HaMelech al Amasa. The king now said to Amasa. Amasa had been the general of Avshalom. And Avshalom made his rebellion, he took Amasa as his general. Amasa was a cousin of Yoav ben Tsruya, who was David's general. And they were both nephews of David. It was all in the family. But now the king said to Amasa that Amasa is going to lead the army to put down the rebellion. Hazak li asish Yehuda, gather for me all the men of Yehuda, shloshes yomim, you have 3 days to do that. Gather together the army in 3 days, v'ata po amod, and you should be standing here. Report back within 3 days. It's interesting. This Amasa was the general of Avshalom. And David, when he came, after Avshalom was killed, he announced that Yoav was not going to be the general. Amasa was going to be the general. But it wasn't even like there was a period of quiet where he could get to know how Avshalom, you know, that Amasa was really loyal and faithful to him. Immediately, they had this rebellion. And Amasa was a general of the last rebellion. He was with Avshalom. But David trusted Amasa, and the king said to Amasa, gather together all the soldiers in 3 days. Va'ata po amod, and you should be standing here in 3 days. Could be the army had already gone home right before this incident, or maybe he was recruiting additional men. He's got 3 days to report back. Va'yelech Amasa lahazik es Yehuda. Amasa went to gather together all the people of Yehuda. Vayocher min hamoed asher yado. But he was delayed from the time that had been agreed upon. 3 days he was supposed to come. The Gemara learns out in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Tes. What happened was, Amasa was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, as all the people in Tanakh are outstanding. Some of them are outstanding in their righteousness, and some are outstanding in their wickedness. But a person who was just a regular one of us didn't make his way into Tanakh. But this Amasa was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And when he was told by David to go on a mission, he was aware of the fact that you have to listen to everything the king says, except for the following. It says by Yoshua ben Nun, Kol asher yamres picha, whoever rebels against you and doesn't listen to everything that you tell him, you must will die. Rak chazak ve'emos. They told Yoshua ben Nun, he just has to strengthen himself and be the leader, and everyone will back him, and anybody who rebels against the king, Yoshua ben Nun was like the king, and he had that role, anybody who would rebel would be killed. But the pasuk says, rak Chazak ve'emot. Only Yoshua ben Nun should strengthen himself and be the leader. The word rak is a what's called a mute. It limits it. When it's in Tanakh, when you see that word rak, it's usually excluding something that the rule doesn't always apply. And the Gemara learns out, rak chazak ve'emot, you always have to listen to the king, unless he tells you to do an aveira. What happened was, Amosa came, and he came at the time when he was going to gather together the soldiers, and they had just begun learning. They had begun, as Rashi brings down, Ashkechinu l'rabbonon teposchu b'meseches. They had just began learning the Masechta, they just began the new session of the yeshiva, I guess. They just began this new subject, and he was hesitant. Is he supposed to interrupt them? Or is this the type, in other words, normally you stop Talmud Torah if it's a mitzvah that can't be done by others, and here the king had asked them, but they just began, maybe he shouldn't interrupt their learning, so he hesitated. And we'll see, he wasn't gone that long. He wasn't gone that long, but he missed the deadline. 3 days came and went, and Amasa wasn't there. And again, Amasa had been the one that had backed Avshalom when Avshalom rebelled. And David trusted Amasa that he's going to lead the army and he'll put down this new revolt. But David must have had that feeling. Can he really rely on Amasa? Now, he told him, go for 3 days and come back. And he has no idea what happened. He's not here. Vayomer David el Avishai. So David said to Avishai, Yoav ben Tsruya had been David's general. And Yoav had a brother, Avishai. There was a third brother, Asoel, that we learned quite a while ago. Much earlier, he had been killed by Avner ben Ner. There were originally three brothers. Now there's two brothers living. Yoav ben Tsruya and his brother, Avishai. So David said to Avishai, Atta now, Yera lanu Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. Sheva ben Bichri is going to do worse to us than Avshalom did. Avshalom, after all, was a son. David figured maybe Avshalom probably wouldn't kill David. It wouldn't be that bad. And here you have Sheva ben Bichri, who's a stranger, and if he's rebelling, there's no telling what he will do. And not only that, but he probably learned the lesson of whatever Avshalom did wrong that caused Avshalom to be killed, we can be sure that Sheva ben Bichri will be more cautious. He's going to learn from the mistakes of his predecessor. So now it's going to be worse. I'd say, Yeh Ramon is Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. Sheva ben Bichri is going to be worse than Avshalom. So after you, kachas avdi adunecha, take the servants of your master. Your master either means Yoav, because Yoav had been the general before this point, or it could be the master is referring to himself in third person. Take the servants of your master, meaning take my servants. Uridof Acharov, and chase after Sheva ben Bichri. Pen Motzalo Orim Betsuros. Maybe Sheva ben Bichri found fortified cities. Behitzil Einenu. One meaning of that is Vehitzil, he'll save himself, Einenu, in front of our eyes. We're sitting around watching, there's a rebellion going. And as we pointed out, Amasa was supposed to be back in 3 days, he didn't show up. David didn't want to make Yoav ben Tsruya the general again. He did not want Yoav. But he needed somebody capable who was used to leading the troops and could be the general. So he took Yoav's brother, who had before led groups of soldiers. So he took Avishai, and he told Avishai, you should lead the army and catch Sheva ben Bichri, lest he finds fortified cities, v'hitzil einenu. Another explanation that Ralbag means is v'hitzil can mean he'll separate. He will take off for himself. Einenu, what we've been looking to with our eyes. We're looking forward to getting the Malchus, that David should be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. And what our eyes have been looking for, Malchus Beis David, v'hitzil, Sheva ben Bichri is going to separate that and take it for himself. You have that Yaakov Avinu's wife said to him by Lavan, it says, Yaakov said to them, Vayatzel Elokim es mikne avichem. Hashem separated the cattle, the flocks of your father Lavan, and Hashem, through a miracle, caused them to be mine, Yaakov said. Vayatzuk means to separate. Orak means v'hitzel einenu. The Targum says v'yoyik lanu, that Sheva ben Bichri is going to cause us a lot of distress. If we don't catch Sheva ben Bichri, he's going to be a thorn in our sides. We're going to have problems from him. So v'hitzel could be in a, like a sagi nohar, a euphemistic manner. V'hitzel einenu, he'll save our eyes, actually meaning he's going to harm us. He's not going to save us, he's going to harm us. V'yitzu achrav anshei Yoav. So the men of Yoav went after Avishai. V'akresi v'aplesi, and the kresi, the simple meaning is the archers, those who shoot with a bow and arrow. V'aplesi is those who use the slingshots or the catapults. V'chol ha'giborim, and all the mighty warriors went after Avishai. Now it doesn't say clearly if Yoav was part of the group or not. It says Vayetzu Achrav Anshe Yoav, and we'll see immediately in the next pasuk Yoav was there, but could be he's not mentioned clearly as following Avishai, because the truth is he was the older brother and he had been the more prominent. And even though David had placed Avishai in charge, he didn't act like he was one of the common soldiers. He was there, but he was maybe on the outskirts, or he was sort of his own. He was along, but he wasn't following under Avishai, or the pasuk doesn't write that he's following Avishai out of honor for Yoav. But the men of Yoav, and the special division, the Kresi and the Plesi, and all the other Giborim, the mighty warriors, went after Avishai, by Yetzim Yerushalayim, and they left Yerushalayim, Lirdov, to pursue Acharei Sheva ben Bichri, after Sheva ben Bichri. Haim im ha'evan ha'gedola. They will buy this large boulder, a large stone, asher begivon and givon. V'amosa bolifneim. And Amosa came before them. Amosa was the one we learned that had 3 days to gather everyone together. And he was a little bit late. But now Amosa was coming, and he sees David HaMelech has a different army, other soldiers being coming in the other direction with Avishai. V'Yoav Chogur Mido Levusha. Now Yoav ben Tzruya, again, that's Avishai's brother. He was there. He was Chogur, he was wearing around his waist, he was belted with Mido Levusha, his special garment. V'Olav Chagor Cherev. And on it there was the sword was the belt that had a sword, Mitzumedes al Mosnov, and it was tightly against his loins, against his waist, Bisara, in the scabbard. Normally a soldier wears the sword hanging down. But Yoav, it's not clear if he always did it, certainly at this point he wanted it especially like this. He tied the sword to his waist. So the sword was horizontal. It wasn't vertically hanging along his leg, it was across his waist. V'hu yotza, and he went out. The two men are meeting, Amosa and Yoav. V'tipol, and the sword fell out of the scabbard. As he was walking to meet Amosa, he tilted his body in a certain way, and the sword was horizontally around his waist. The sword just slipped out of the scabbard and fell on the ground. Of course, it didn't look suspicious. It wasn't like he pulled his sword. The sword fell. Vayomer Yoav l'Amosa. Yoav said to Amosa, Hashalom ata achi, is all well with you, my brother? They were cousins, actually. They were first cousins. Their mothers were sisters. So Yoav said to Amosa, is all well with you, my brother? Vatochez yad yamin Yoav, bizakan Amosa, the right hand of Yoav, grabbed the beard of Amosa, leishak lo, to kiss him. As he like pulled his beard, I don't know if to draw his head closer, he was going to kiss him as a sign of friendship. Now it was his right hand, again the right hand was the one pulling the beard, and the sword was on the ground. Or it could be it was picked up already. At some point there, he leaned over and he picked up the sword, but it didn't look suspicious. The sword was on the ground, it had to be picked up. And he didn't do it with his right hand. He used his left hand. V'amosalo nishmar b'cherav asher b'yad Yoav. Amosa wasn't on guard from the sword that was in Yoav's hand, in his left hand. V'yakeyu bo'el hachomesh. And Yoav struck Amosa el hachomesh, one meaning is by the fifth rib. And over there, behind the fifth rib, is the gallbladder and the liver and those organs that are so critical for human life. He struck him by that fifth rib. Vayishpoch mei of arza, and his innards, the intestines, it all spilled out on the ground. V'lo shanalo, he didn't have to repeat the blow. And one strike with a sword, he hit Amosa, Vayomos, and Amosa, and he died. Amosa was killed. Others learn Hachomesh is like, in the Torah you have the word Vachamushim. They went out armed from Mitzrayim. Hachomesh means the person's strength, meaning his heart. Could be hit him in the heart. But whatever it was, he stabbed him and he killed him. V'yoav Avishai Ochiv. Yoav and Avishai, his brothers, Radaf Achrei Sheva ben Bichri, they pursued after Sheva ben Bichri. They had a war to fight. They were there to fight Sheva ben Bichri. Amosa didn't show up within the 3 days. So Yoav figured he's a Morid B'Malchus. He's rebelling against the throne. David said to show up in 3 days. Amosa didn't show up by the deadline. There's no excuses. So he killed Amosa. But right now, they were after Sheva ben Bichri. And it seems like there was a total... Obviously, it's the way it's written, he didn't care at all. The fact, in other words, Amosa was Chayev Misa, he killed him, and he went on to his schedule. The Yoav Avishai Yochiv brought up Achrei Sheva ben Bichri, he had a war to fight. Yoav and his brother Avishai pursued after Sheva ben Bichri. The Ralbag mentions, every few prokim, he sums up all the lessons that were learned over the last few prokim. Later on, when he sums it up, and at the end of after Perek Chof Aleph, the Ralbag writes, the lesson from here is that a person should always be on guard. In other words, it's somebody that Amosa should have figured, Yoav ben Tzri already had a record. He might have done things, he had his own cheshbonos, his own calculations, why what he did was right. Possibly he did a L'shem Shamayim. But it happens to be that Yoav ben Tzruya had killed another general, Avner ben Ner, way much earlier. Yoav ben Tzruya had been the general, and then David told him, Amasa is going to take over. So it's not clear whether Yoav ben Tzruya did a completely L'shem Shamayim, that Amasa was a Mori B'Malchus. Other Mephoshim say he was jealous. He used to be the general, and now Amasa was made the general. And as with many other things, there's very often a balance. We know ourselves as a balance between L'shem Shamayim and a person's own motives. But he should have been on guard. And it's a lesson to learn from here that how could it be somebody like Amosa is going to meet Yoav ben Tzruya, and Yoav just learned the position to him, lost the position of general. And Yoav has done things like this in the past, and he's not on guard. And true, it looked innocent that the sword fell, but he should have been on guard. And that's what the Novi is telling us. V'amosalo nishmar b'cherav asher b'yad Yoav. He wasn't on guard, and a person should learn the lesson not to be like that. V'ish amar alav. Anyways, Amosa was killed. He's lying there. A person stood by him, Minare Yoav, from the lads of Yoav. Vayomer, and he said, Mi asher chofetz b'Yoav. Anybody who approves of Yoav. If you approve of what Yoav did, or even if you don't approve, Umi asher leDavid, if you are backing David HaMelech, Achre Yoav. You should follow Yoav. There must have been people coming, especially the men of Amosa, who were horrified about what happened. Amosa was made the general by David HaMelech, and he comes, and all of a sudden Yoav kills him, and the crowd started gathering around to see what happened. So one of the Na'arim said, if you approve of what Yoav did, you certainly should follow Yoav. And even if you think this murder was terrible, but for the sake of David HaMelech, there's a rebellion now. Sheva ben Bichri rebelled. So you don't like what Yoav did. But we have to get Sheva ben Bichri. Otherwise we can't, whatever, this will have to be dealt with at some other time. But we can't stand here watching and thinking about it and debating what to do. Everyone has to follow Yoav if they're a supporter of David. V'amosa miskol el badom. And Amosa was rolling there in the blood. Besocha mesila on the road. Vayaro ish, the person saw ki omar kolom, that traffic was stopping and people were looking. Vayasev es Amosa min hamesila, so he moved Amosa from the road hasoda onto the field. And obviously, even when he was off the road, people were still looking and still had a crowd. Vayashech alav beged, he covered him with a garment. He threw a garment onto him. Kashera, when he saw kol haba alav v'amad, everyone who came by him was standing there. So it wasn't enough. So he moved him off the road, and that still didn't help. So he covered over Amasa. People didn't notice him. Kasher hoga min amasila, when he was removed from the road, Avar kol ish achre Yoav. Kasher hoga min amasila, when he was moved from the road, Avar kol ish achre Yoav. Everybody passed and then followed after Yoav, lirdof achre Sheva ben Bichri, to pursue after Sheva ben Bichri. The word even hoga is usually used removing psoilus or garbage. Like if you have silver and you're smelting it to purify it, the term is hogu sigim mikesef. You've removed the impurities from silver, as Rashi brings down. Kasher hoga, as he was like, they got him off of the road, and this is a bloody person on the road, and people can't travel, and it's stopping, you know, traffic. They moved him off the road, but without any of the kavod and the chashivus of what a great person Amasa was. But they just dragged him off the road like, yeah, you have to clear the way. Kasher hoga min amasila, he was moved off of the road. And the Navi doesn't say anything about his burial. It doesn't say if there were hespedim. We'll see later on, when the account is settled, at the end of David's life, he gives instructions to Shlomo what to do. He warns that Yoav ben Tzruya should be punished for this. And he says how Yoav ben Tzruya killed two great people, Avner ben Ner, and this person Amasa, this general Amasa, besides Avshalom, but he killed two great generals in Klal Yisrael. But over here, you don't find any mention of a funeral. You don't find any hespedim, and the story continues. And it could be, the Mephorshim say, because this was a time of an emergency. There was a rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. Amasa was originally, the plan is that he should be in charge of the army. And he didn't show up in time, and now he was killed. Yoav obviously took the leadership role. Avishai was leading the soldiers, but Yoav was the one who killed Amasa, and Yoav is obviously a powerful force to be reckoned with. If right now they would make a proper burial with all the honor that Amasa deserves, and they would say hespedim, and David would show the anguish and how he was so upset with what Yoav did, it would weaken the battle against Sheva ben Bichri. As we need people who can fight against Sheva ben Bichri and put down the revolt. Yoav is one of those main people. Yoav is with his brother Avishai. They're leading the army and they're chasing after Sheva ben Bichri. So now is not the time that David can deal with Yoav ben Tzruya. And we'll see later on, even after Sheva ben Bichri was killed, it was still difficult. Yoav ben Tzruya was a tough person. And David had this problem throughout, that Yoav ben Tzruya did what he felt was best for David, even if David didn't like it. Or if he decided, Amasa ben Yesse didn't listen to David, he didn't show up in 3 days, he's a Mori b'machus, he should be killed. That wasn't David's idea. and it was presented as David's idea. As the Nar said, whoever wants Yoav, or whoever supports David, go after Yoav. But it's sort of ironic, but the thing that David was so upset about, it was presented, if you approve of David, follow Yoav. So, but this is the way Yoav was, and he did things on his own, but now is not the time that David could take action, or even do properly eulogize or bury Amasa ben Yeser. He was taken off the road and covered with a garment. Vayabar b'chol shivta Yisrael. He traveled, he passed through all the shvatim and klal Yisrael. Some of Forshim learned, like Rashi brings down, it means Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri traveled through all of the shvatim. The Metzudis and others learn, it means Yoav traveled. The truth is they were both traveling. Sheva ben Bichri was running, and he was trying, and he had already gathered together all the Ish Yisrael, but as he was traveling, he probably got additional supporters. In the back, you have Yoav and Avishai and David's men, and whoever Amasa had gathered, and they're probably also gathering more people. So you have these two groups of soldiers crossing through the country. Vayavar b'chol shivtei Yisrael, they travel through the Shevatim, the tribes of Klal Yisrael, Avela, to the place called Avel, Ubeis Macha, and Beis Macha. We'll see in a moment those two districts or cities were right near each other. In fact, we'll see it's called Avel Beis Macha, the Avel of Beis Macha. B'chol HaBeirim, and this place Beirim, it obviously is a place because the Targum just calls it Beirin. He doesn't translate it. That's the name of a place. And Rashi says, Lo yadati mahu. I don't know exactly what this Beirin is. But they went traveling through the country, and when the word is read, Vayikohalu. And the people gathered together, Vayavo af achrov, and they came even after him. Meaning, whoever they were following, they came even after the other person. Or they both, obviously they both gathered supporters as they were traveling. The way it's written in the Pasuk, the Ksiv is Vayikolahu, from the word Kal, to be light, to be insignificant. This Pasuk is mentioning what a disgrace this whole incident was to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was like insignificant. If you think about it, 1 minute they have David HaMelech as a king. Then Avshalom tells everybody how he's for the people and he convinces everyone to follow Avshalom. So the people leave David and go to Avshalom. Then Avshalom is killed, so they all go back to David. Then there's some type of argument over who David HaMelech is closer to. Is he closer to his own Shevet Yehuda? Is he a king over all of Klal Yisrael and everyone's equal? And then Sheva ben Bichri gets up and he says, what do we need David for? Everyone go back to your tents. That's it. Forget about David. And everyone goes to Sheva ben Bichri. It's embarrassing the way they treat it. Such a trivial matter. In other words, it doesn't make a difference who their king is. There's no loyalty. So the way it's written, Vayikolahu, from the word kal, they were like, they showed their lack of importance and prominence, that they just followed whoever. The way it's written, the simple meaning, Vayikohalu, they each gathered their supporters, and they chased after Sheva ben Bichri. Vayavo, and they came. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayatsuru alov, and they laid siege, they finally caught up with Sheva ben Bichri, and they laid siege against him. Be'avela beis hamacha, in the place Avel of beis hamacha, Sheva ben Bichri had gone to this city. And they now had him. He was in the city. Vayishbuchu sololo el ha'ir. Now, first of all, it's not clear at this point what Sheva ben Bichri was thinking. Was he still planning to be king? Was he just hiding there out of desperation? In other words, he must have had supporters, but we don't know what happened. This whole time he's traveling through the country and Yoav has an army also. And Sheva ben Bichri is now holed up in this fortress. He's in the city. We'll see in a moment there were walls around it. Was he still planning on being the king? Did he just hope maybe he'll escape the death sentence? But he's in the city. And they laid a siege against the city. They surrounded it. They probably cut off the food supply and the water. But it, obviously, there was plenty of supplies in the city. The siege itself wasn't going to be successful too soon. Vayishpachu solala el ha'ir. So they built a ramp going up to the city. They used to pile up dirt and press it down that it's firm, that you can run up the ramp. And they gradually built up a high ramp that would be the height of the city's wall. And then people can run up to the top of the ramp and throw things over the wall. At a certain point, they can actually scale the walls. But they made this high ramp, and then they could hide behind the ramp as a protection. Otherwise, they're exposed if they just try to climb the wall. So they built a ramp, which also takes plenty of time. And Sheva ben Bichri is still there in the city. Nothing's happening. They pour the solala el ha'ir, this ramp, toward the city. Vatamod bachel. One meaning is bachel is like bachayol. They stood there with their soldiers. They surrounded the city with their soldiers. Another explanation is bachel. Bachel means a short wall. They used to build two walls to protect the city. There was the high wall. And then even if the enemy succeeds in getting past one wall, they had another wall behind it. So with the two walls, one was the main wall that stopped the enemy. But the second wall was to give that added difficulty that even if you get one wall, there's another one behind it. But here they had this ramp. They were able to get to the top of the wall. Batamur b'chil, they were now up to this other wall. V'chol ha'am asheres Yoav. And all the people that were with Yoav, mashchisim, were destroying. L'hapil achoma, to knock over the wall. As they were breaking apart the wall. And Sheva ben Bichri's in the city, and there's no white flag, no surrender. He's in the city, but it looks like Yoav is going to capture the city. They're getting closer and closer. Vatigra isha chachoma min ha'ir. A wise woman called out from the city. Shimu, Shimu, here, here. Imrunal Yoav, say to Yoav, Krav ad heina, come close, come here. Va'adabra elech, I want to speak to you. The double expression, Shimu, Shimu, is to show the confusion and the urgency. Hear me, just summon Yoav to the city. Va'yikrav elecha. So Yoav came close to this woman. Vatomer ha'isha, and the woman said, Hata Yoav, are you Yoav? Now it could be she saw him and she wasn't sure. It could be he came with a big shield. You know, he was afraid maybe they'd throw things down at him from the city walls. Could be she didn't know, is that really Yoav? But she said, are you Yoav? Vayomer ani, and he said, it's me. Vatomer lo, she said to him, Shma divrei amasecha, hear the words of your maidservant. Vayomer, and he said, Shemei anochi, I hear, I understand, you have my attention. And now she's going to give her plea to Yoav. She probably stood at the city walls at risk of her life. It seems like there were no other men. Could be the men were afraid to go to the city walls. First of all, if they were going to call Yoav, we don't know exactly what was doing with Sheva ben Bichri, but Sheva ben Bichri had his own men. And could be if Sheva ben Bichri would see people on the wall trying to negotiate to speak to Yoav, Sheva ben Bichri would kill them. And to stand on the wall and call the Yoav to come, maybe somebody would shoot whoever's on the wall. But the woman figured that, first, she's a woman. It's not the type of thing where it's proper in war to kill the women or children. It's the men that are the soldiers. So as a woman, she could stand on the wall and they wouldn't kill her. She came and she stood by the wall. And there's a chazal that says this Isha Chachoma, this wise woman. Rashi brings it a little later in Pasuk Yutes. The Medrash says she was Serach Bas Osher. She was the wise woman. We had before, there was another wise woman from the city of Tekoa. In fact, Chazal say in Tekoa they had oil, olive oil, and olive oil is good for the brain. But people who have olive oil become wise people. Serach bas Asher, I would assume that Asher is betovel b'shemen raglo. He had a lot of oil in his chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Could be Serach bas Asher. That only made her intelligence even greater. But we'll see more about why she is the one who took this role. The Radak brings this down also in Pasuk Yud Tes, and the Radak says it's v'teimahu, it's a wonder. How could it be that it's Serach bas Asher is this person? This happened hundreds of years later. Serach bas Asher came down to Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim, Serach bas Asher was there. Now, it happens to be she lived a long life anyways, because it says she came into Eretz Yisrael. And if we were in Mitzrayim for 210 years, and there were 40 years in the desert, she lived a very, very long lifespan. She lived a very long life as it is. But to learn that it was another few hundred years till this story happened, the Radak says it's a wonder. But just point out what we've mentioned before, the Ramban in Parshas Vayigash mentions that the Torah only highlights, the truth is, the whole existence of Klal Yisrael is a miracle. And every promise of the Torah, if the Torah says you keep Shemitah and you'll have enough to eat, that's an open miracle. The Torah is based on miracles. The Torah promises that if we do Hashem's will, everything will be good. There won't be sicknesses, the enemy won't come to the land, everything will be perfect if Klal Yisrael keeps the Torah. The whole thing is based on a miracle. So the Torah doesn't highlight if something involves the Jewish people, that this individual had a long life, or this person, Yocheved, gave birth at the age of 130. It's not highlighted because it's not, everything's a miracle. The miracles that the Torah mentions are if there's a nevuah, or if there's a nevuah that Sarah was told she would have a child, and then it happened, something that the Navi predicts, and then it happens, those nevuahs to strengthen, to teach us about nevuahs, things like that are written in Tanakh. But in general, the miracle that happened to be, there was somebody, Serach bas Asher, who lived an unbelievably long life, that's not highlighted and that's not mentioned. So the Chazal that this Isha Chachoma, this wise woman, was Serach bas Asher. She called for Yoav, he came, and she asked for his attention. But Tomer, and she said, Lamar, that he should say it over. Lamar, she said, Lamar saying. Some say that she wanted him to convey this message to David. Daber yidabru v'rishona lemor. This pasuk is difficult to translate. The Abar Vanel has, I think, five ways of explaining these next few words. But daber yidabru v'rishona lemor. Speak, they speak at the beginning saying, shol yishalu v'ovel. Ask, they should ask in ovel. V'chein heisamu. And so, either they're complete, or they're at peace. That's what the pasuk says. Rashi says it's referring to the fact that the Torah says when you lay siege against a city, you have to call out in peace and ask if they want to surrender and follow the terms that are offered. That the Torah says, if the Torah is dealing with goyim, exactly what the goyim have to do. But you have to call out in peace. And over here, Yoav came with his army, he surrounded the city, he made a siege, he built this ramp, and you never asked us, you never said why you're here. Now, I don't know if she didn't realize that Sheva ben Bichri was in the city, or she knew it, but she was saying Yoav should have negotiated, he should have discussed it. But Davri Davri Shon Olemar, you're supposed to speak first. When you come to a city to attack, you're supposed to speak first. Shol Yishalu Ba'ovel. You should ask about the city Ovel. V'chein Heisamu. And so they would make peace with you. If you say why you're here, we could have worked out a deal. Why are you destroying the city? The Malbim learns what she said was Dabru Yidabru V'rishon Olemor. The people in Ovel are asking what's going on. Dabru yidabru v'rishon olemor. You should have spoken at the beginning saying why you're here. What did we do wrong? Why are you surrounding the city? Shal yishalu ba'ovel. That's the question that they're asking in the city Ovel. You want to know what the subject of conversation is. People want to know why Yoav is outside with this army. V'chein heisamu. And that's the complete question. That's all there is. There's a question without an answer. All we have is a question. Why are you here with the army? Anochi shlumei amune Yisrael. It could either mean Anochi, I as a person. If she's Serach Bas Osher, she's saying, I as a person, shlumei, am complete. I'm the one who transfers, who is mashlim, who gives over the emune Yisrael, the trust of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, Yaakov Avinu is known as, was a nemon, was somebody you could trust. Yaakov was an ish emes. Yosef was somebody who was also a ne'emon, who was trusted. Potiphar, it says, Vayazov Klasher Lobiad Yosef. He left everything that he had under the control of Yosef. Serach said, I'm Shlumei Emune Yisrael. I give over the news about the Ne'emon, the Emuna, the faith. I give that over in Klal Yisrael. I'm the one who told Yaakov that Yosef was still alive. Yaakov was a Ne'emon. Yosef was a Ne'emon. I'm the one who came and told Yaakov, Od Yosef Chai. As the famous Medrash goes, she played the kinar, but this is, she said, I'm Shlumei Emune Yisrael, I did that. Not only that, but when Klal Yisrael was ready to leave Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who was also a Ne'emon, B'chol Beisi Ne'emonhu, Moshe Rabbeinu was trusted. Moshe needed to bring Yosef HaTzadik. Vayikach Moshe es Atmos Yosef Imo. Moshe had to bring Yosef with him. Serach Bas Asher knew where Yosef was. And I told Moshe Rabbeinu where the Aron of Yosef was. Anochi Shlumei Amune Yisrael. So I'm the one who's transferred, I've been entrusted and I've been given that zechus to transfer the knowledge of those who are loyal in Klal Yisrael. And now in this city, Atam Avakesh Lahamis Ir Ve'im Yisrael, you seek to destroy, to kill out a city, Ve'im, in like a mother city, or such an important city, Yisrael, in Yisrael, Lama Tzavala Nachlas Hashem, why are you out to destroy the Nachla of Hashem? The Malbim learns she was speaking on behalf of the people in the city. There's two reasons why a city could be wiped out. Either they're Morid v'malchus, they rebel against the king, or they're something like an Iran Idachas. If you have a city that rebels against Hashem and they all worship idols, the city is also wiped out. She said, Anochi Shlumei, I'm at peace with David HaMelech. Our city is not rebelling against David. Emune, and we're loyal to Hashem. We're Shlumei Emune Yisrael. We're at peace with the king. We're loyal to Hashem. Atzim Avakish Lomis Ir Ve'im Yisrael. You want to kill a city, and it's a mother city that has suburbs and villages around it. It's a whole area, an important city, in Klal Yisrael. Why? We're part of the country, we're part of the king, we're part of Yisrael, and Lama Tzavala Nachlas Hashem. And we're loyal to Hashem also. Why should you swallow up and destroy the inheritance of Hashem? Vayan Yoav Vayomar. Yoav responded and he said, Chalila, Chalila li, a double term, Chalila, Chalila. Far be it from me, far be it that David HaMelech would want such a thing. Or it could be Chalila again. Not, I wouldn't want it, I wouldn't treat you as rebelling against David, I wouldn't treat your city as rebelling against Hashem. But im aval avim ashkis, I won't destroy the city, and I won't even wreak havoc or cause any damage to the city. Luchin adover, it's not like you think, it's not like I'm out to destroy the place. Ki ish mi Har Ephraim, there's a man from Har Ephraim, Sheva ben Bichri Shemo, and his name is Sheva ben Bichri. Notza Yoda Bamelech, he raised his hand against the king. Bidavid, against David. If somebody rebels against the king, even if he's not David HaMelech, he deserves to be killed. And if somebody rebels against the Talmud Chacham, on the level of David, a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not the king, He deserves to, he's chayiv misa. Rashi brings the medrash. And here, this Sheva ben Bichri rebelled against Bamelech, b'David, against the king and against David. Tenu oso levado. Hand him over alone. Ve'elcha mi'al ha'ir, and then I'll leave the city. But Tomer Yishel Yoav, the woman said to Yoav, Hine rosho mushlach elecha. His head will be thrown to you, ba'ad hachoma, from the wall. We'll throw his head down. Batavo Yishel kol ha'am. The woman came to all the people, the Chachmosa, with her wisdom. Either her wisdom was, she said, you know, we have to give over Sheva ben Bichri and let's say 1,000 of his men. But I'll see if I can work out a better deal. And the people thought about it, and she came back and said, you know what, I think he'll settle for 100 people. And then finally she negotiated, you know what, Yoav will settle for just Sheva ben Bichri. But she came to them with her Chachman. We'll see other explanations in Chazal, other facets of this chokhmah. By Yichusu Asro Sheva ben Bichri, they cut off the head of Sheva ben Bichri by Ashlichu al Yoav, and they threw the head to Yoav. By Yiska by Shofar, and they blew the shofar. By Yafutsu Mi'al Ha'ir, and they scattered. They left the city. Ish la'ohalov. Everyone went back to his tent. V'Yoav Shov Yerushalayim al Hamelach. Yoav returned to Yerushalayim to the king. The war was over, Sheva ben Bichri was killed, everyone went home, and Yoav went back to Yerushalayim. This is a major discussion in the poskim, and this comes up, it should never happen, but it happens, it's happened through the centuries. The question is, what happens if the goyim, let's say, if a city is surrounded, and the people are told, hand over somebody, or everyone will be killed? This is basically what happened. Yoav said, hand over Sheva ben Bichri, or else the whole city will be wiped out. There's a maisa the Yerushalmi brings down. There was somebody, Ula bar Koshev, and the Malchus, the government, wanted that person. And he fled. He went to Lud. He went to Yeshua ben Levi. And the Goyim surrounded the city. They wanted this guy, Ula bar Koshev. And they said, if you don't hand him over, they're going to destroy the city. So Yeshua ben Levi went to this Ula bar Koshev and told him, you know, everyone's going to get killed anyways. He should go ahead and turn himself in and he'll save everyone else's life. And he convinced Ula bar Koshev to agree that they handed him over with his agreement. And this way everyone else was left alone. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to get visited frequently by Eliyahu HaNavi. From this incident on, Eliyahu HaNavi stopped coming. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi fasted. I fasted many fast days. He wanted to know why Eliyahu HaNavi's not coming for him. Finally, Eliyahu HaNavi came, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "What did I do wrong? It's a Mishnah. Whatever I did was correct. We see from Sheva ben Bichri, they cut off his head to save the city. He obviously was chayiv to be killed, and we can assume this Ula bar Koshev deserved death. And what did I do wrong?" Eliyahu HaNavi answered, it's not a Mishnas Chasidim. It's still not the best way to conduct yourself. You should have avoided it. You should have said you don't want to get involved, even though everyone else is at risk. But you weren't wrong, but to merit Eliyahu HaNavi's visit after that, you didn't deserve it. And that's the way the Rambam paskins. As I say, there are a number of different variables. Is the person that's being turned over definitely going to die anyways? Maybe he would be able to escape. Was he chayiv misa? But the way the Rambam quotes it, and as I say, it's based on this incident. But it says, if goyim tell a Jewish city, a Jewish group, tenu lanu echad mikem v'nargenu, give us one of you, and we'll kill that person. V'imlav naro kuchum, if not, we'll kill everyone. The halacha is, this is the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Hei, Mishnah Hei, Yehargu Kulam, Val Yimsru Lehem Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael. They are not allowed to turn anyone in. If they say, turn over one person, they're not allowed to cooperate, you can't even do a goyrol, you can't, that's it. They cannot do any lots, who's going to go to the enemy? Nothing is done. V'miyichdu lahem, if the goyim singled out the person, they said, we want him. V'amru tnu lanu ploni, give us that person or we'll kill everyone. If he was chayiv misa anyways, like Sheva ben Bichri, they can turn him over. but the Rambam, give him over to the enemy, but ve'ein morim lahem kein lechatchila. We wouldn't paskin it for them. It's permitted, but it's not the type of decision like we learned. Eliyahu Hanavi said it seems to still not be the optimum course, and they should really stay out of it, even though they're risking the life of everyone in the city. But the halach is it's permitted. And if he's not chayiv misa, they can never turn him over. It's only if he's chayiv misa, like Sheva ben Bichri was chayiv to be killed, and if they surround him, they say, let's have Sheva ben Bichri, or the city will be wiped out, then they can hand him over. We'll stop here. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll finish the parak.